began back in September talking about our Big Life series. And there are three components to that. First of all was navigate, just kind of understanding and laying out the groundwork, knowing the direction about where we need to be going to get this big life that God has for us. And then a couple of weeks ago, we moved into the second part of it. We're calling it cultivate. And so now that we know where we need to be going, we want to kind of get our hands dirty. We want to get in and get after it, what it is that God has for us. And so we spent the first couple of weeks following the Gospel of John as it details how Jesus took his disciples on the journey from them just kind of knowing about him to him ultimately taking the keys of the kingdom and giving them over to him, to them, and them taking the gospel to where you and I are today. And so we're transitioning and understanding what it is to be a disciple, to understand how do we follow Christ. And what was the process that he took his early followers through, and what does that mean for you and I? I think beyond salvation, which is awesome for every man, every woman, for everyone to know that God wants to just connect with us personally. But beyond that, the first thing that Jesus did were draw disciples. We're calling people to come and to hang out with him. The first thing that Jesus did was call lifetime followers. And so that's what we want to challenge you with today. Now, if you're joining with us today and you want to jump on the Real Life app, we've been encouraging you every week to be able to make sure you download that. There's so much that can happen there. Connection with your life group notes. You can give online through the app, but you can also follow along this morning. My notes are going to be on there right now. So right there they are. So you can see some of them on the screen, but you can join along with me even more right now. So make sure you pull that out and follow along, and that way you can journey along this storyline with me each and every Sunday. So as the disciples were being called away from their earthly positions, Jesus showed up one day at a lot of their workplaces and said, listen, some of you have been fishing for fish. Why don't you come and join me? Because I want to teach you how to fish for men. And they dropped their nets and they realized, man, I wouldn't want to be any other place than being where Jesus is at. And when they fully committed to following Jesus, it says that he took them up into the mountainside and he began to teach them the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Most of us know this as the Sermon on the Mount, kind of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So if you want to jump maybe online to a Bible app, or if you want to just kind of open up your Bible, why don't you do that? The very first gospel, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to read about some of the principles over these next few weeks that Jesus gave to his early disciples that you and I need to have incorporated into our lives as well. So one of the first principles that Jesus taught about was stewardship. In fact, discipleship and stewardship go hand in hand. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. Let me give you this understanding today. I believe that it is impossible to become a fully developing follower of Jesus without also becoming a fully developing steward of everything that God has given you. And so the only way that we understand what it is to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, is that we have to be just as intentional, we have to be just as thorough in recognizing in what he has put in us, that it's not just there for my benefit, but it's there to be used for the benefit of the kingdom of heaven. Say amen. Even if you're not sure you believe that or not yet, all right? You see, that's the truth, that God did not give you your talent, your ability, your skill set, your ability in this life just for yourself. God gave you all of those things to benefit the kingdom of why you are here, the kingdom of heaven here, and how he wants to use us. And so there are a number of things that we are called to steward in this life, to be a manager of, that God has given us placement of and how we use that. But I recognize the most challenging area to steward oftentimes is our money and finance. You can all go, ooh, he's going there today. Go ahead, you can do it. I'm not afraid. There you go. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus' words. Now, we've talked about this over the years. Isn't it amazing? Like, this passage really you would think is backwards. When we think about us being a follower, us being a disciple of Christ, that shouldn't it really say that where your heart is, there also is your treasure? Well, you would think so, but how many know God knows you and me better than we know ourselves, right? And so God wrote it the right way, and that's a challenge still for you and I today. Where your treasure is, there is where you'll find our heart. You see, we are living in a time where as much as we want Jesus to be our master, for a lot of people in church, money is their master. Now, not so much necessarily always in a negative way. It's just that we are challenged by living in a world where money, where debt, where we struggle financially has continued to wreak havoc on homes, on individuals, and on families, where we are just being poor stewards of what God has enabled us to be able to live with here in this life. We are living in a time where debt has become the master of most people and most households. According to Dave Ramsey, only 12% of born-again Christians give to their local church. Of that evangelicals, they give less than 3% of their income to the kingdom work. Some of this is explained, again, because of the struggle where we find ourselves, at least here in America, that 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Not always necessarily because of poor wages, but because of poor stewardship. You can say amen, right? That the average student loan debt in America, average, is $37,000. Listen, if you need to pray for anybody, you need to pray for students coming out of college today. I mean, I know it's a struggle, and I know it's tough, and I know that there are big priorities, and there are big debt loads that come with education and come with getting established in the society. Like I said, some of this isn't the negative, this isn't the hard stuff. We are facing some challenges in this world and in this society like we haven't faced before as well. 64% of Americans can't cover a $1,000 emergency. We are just kind of living edge to edge, but God doesn't want us to be living that way. God wants to provide from His Word. God wants to give us direction about how we can turn that around. And those are some of the things that I want to share with you this morning. You see, God knew that we needed that for this direction in our life. He provided 2,300 scriptures in the Bible that deal with money, stewardship, or possessions. In fact, that's twice as many that deal with faith, that deal with prayer. Jesus talked more about possessions and money than He did about heaven or hell combined. Wow. Why is that? Because we need to know the truth about how God is calling us to be good stewards of everything that He has given us. Why such a struggle? Why a challenge for so many? Because I believe that what we don't understand is that there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual life and our financial life, or those actions that concern our money and possessions. You see, the two are interconnected. Jesus said, where your what? Treasure is, what's going to be there as well? Your heart. But we oftentimes don't make that connection between how our finances and how our faith are combined, are connected. We want to keep them separate, but we recognize they are combined. Zig Ziglar, kind of a Christian a guy that used to be a motivational speaker a long time ago, said, money isn't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen. Right? Some of you remember a comedian, Henny Youngman, one time said, I have all the money that I'll ever need as long as I die by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Anybody say, yeah, I could probably say that, right? You got to know what the challenges are of living maybe paycheck to paycheck, or knowing that, man, as much as I'm making, but I don't have much in reserve. I don't have much should there be an emergency or a challenge that comes into my life. Now, I want you to understand today that I believe that God has a spiritual plan for every one of you that are here today, but I also equally believe that God has a financial plan for your life as well. That it's not just about salvation. That's what secures our life for eternity. But God wants to know that your heart and your life can be secured here every day on earth until we finally reach heaven, until we finally walk into our eternity. Now, if you're uncomfortable with this teaching today, it may be because you've never heard a biblical teaching on money and stewardship. So I get that. And the other reason is because some of you have heard the teaching on money and stewardship before. Hello? So it's going to make everybody feel just a bit uncomfortable today, all right? So just look around and say, don't worry, like it'll be all right, right? Nobody panic. Here's what cultivating stewardship is all about. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what do we need to cultivate in our life to continue to be just a sold out, just kind of on point follower for Jesus. These are some things that we've got to get our hands in the soil. We've got to get dirt under our fingernails in some of these things. These are areas that God wants to teach us. These are areas that God wants to bless us in. Trust me on this. God wants to bless you in these areas, and I'll share from Scripture why that is in just a minute. But what is cultivating stewardship? What will that do for you and I in this life? Well, how many would love to live debt-free the rest of your life? Yeah? How many would you love to have enough savings to cover you for the next 6 months, right? How many of you believe that isn't it awesome to give God not just 10%, but to know you are giving him the first 10%, yes? And being able to live wonderfully on the rest, or not having to live paycheck to paycheck. Who do you think has a plan for that? Now, don't say Dave Ramsey, because I know he does have a plan for that. But who has one better than him? God has a plan for that, right? Why? Because God says that he's going to take care of us. God says that he's going to give us things in this life, and that if we will steward it, that if we will manage it well, we've been talking over the last couple of months that God is the God of what? Less or more? More. And so we know that if we manage well, that God's not looking to take away. God is always looking to bless. John chapter 10 says this, "My purpose is to give you life in all of its fullness." And that's financially as well. That's in stewardship. That's in gifts and talents and skills and abilities. God says, I want your life to be full in everything that I have for you. In every outlet of your life, I want you to be blessed. How many believe that today? That's God's heart for every single one of us. That God wants fullness, more and better life than we could ever dream of. That's what God wants to do for us. Now, maybe just kind of, if you want to look back, we're early into 2019. Just to kind of set a standard for every one of us that are here today. Maybe we look back to 2018, and maybe in your mind you have a little arrow that can either be pointed up or could be pointed down. All right? Everybody with me? So maybe if you think about this last year, 2018, in general, would you say that maybe in your stewardship, in finances, in how you are making it in this life, are you gaining altitude, arrow up, or maybe arrow down? Is your financial life getting better or not so good? Are you putting more aside last year than you did the year before? Do you have less debt now than you did a year ago or 2 years ago? Arrows, now you don't have to do this, all right? Because I'd maybe be afraid, right? Arrows up or arrows down? Now, when I was thinking about this, here's kind of a third option in all of this. Some of you only have an idea about where that arrow direction might be. The sad truth is that most of us, we can't accurately know if our arrow should be going up or down because we spend very little time thinking about how our financial life is connected to our spiritual life. You see, I know a lot of people, especially younger today, they only have an idea about how things are going financially in their life. But they don't have a great idea. Let me explain that for just a minute. I think there are a lot of people today that have an I think so method when it comes to their finances. If I would ask them, are you doing okay? I think so. Come on, somebody, right? Is your savings doing all right? I think so. Most of us are living with an I think so kind of mentality. We're hoping, right, that as we are making decisions, how many? You don't have to raise your hands, or maybe I should make you do that. When you're making plans today, you're thinking or hoping that you have enough in the account. Like, I think this should go through. Anybody, right? I think this should happen. How many of you get a little panicked, right, when the teller at the bank kind of pauses and looks at the computer, then looks back at you, and you're like, I knew it, right? I know there's not enough in there, right? Or when there's kind of a pause because we don't have a great handle on how we are managing or stewarding the things that God has given to us. I know that probably for a lot of us, and maybe those younger than me, no one fills out their check register anymore. I shouldn't say no one, but there's probably very few, right? That used to be a big thing when I was younger. You'd write a check, the first thing you'd do, right? You'd flip it to the front. How many are at least 30 and older that have some clue, some idea of what I'm talking about, right? And boy, you'd fill it in, and some of you, you know, you're doing the math, you're figuring it all out. Why? Because you're kind of keeping a daily, momentary record about how things are going. Let's be honest. Again, I want to say nobody, but I don't, there's probably not nobody. We don't do that anymore, do we? Right? We're back at the I think so, I hope so method, right? Now, a lot of the younger generation, and me a little bit included, knowing of technology today, say, well, Pastor, we don't have to do that because there's an app for that, right? Most of you probably do online banking. Most of you, your banks have apps that you can have ready access to where things are going. However, you have to realize that a lot of those transactions at times are still pending while you are still spending. Somebody say amen in the house today. And then we find ourselves caught, and oh no, and what happens? Some of your checks aren't made out of paper, they're made out of rubber, huh? I mean, they're bouncing everywhere. See, the fact is that we know that our system or the things that we have in life, that we just don't tie it in as much. And there's some reasons for that. We're going to get there. The Bible places high priority on how we understand, how we manage, how we steward the things that God has given to us. Now, I know if some of you are starting to reach for your coats right now because you've realized, I don't think he's stopping on the money thing today. Hold on. Many of you know I would never manipulate the gospel for salvation, right? That's fast and true, and I'm not going to do it about this issue of stewardship and money either. No one's here to twist your arm. No one's here to make you feel bad. Today, we're going to learn, okay, how we can better manage the things that God has blessed us with, that God has given. And we're going to take it beyond just money because we realize there are kind of some hard assets that we work with in life, but there are also some soft assets. There are blessings, talents, abilities, skills, all those other things that God is asking us to manage and to steward well in this life. And so we're going to walk through all of that in the next couple of minutes this morning. I think there are certain verses in the Bible that summarize great truth, great doctrine that help to align things for us, that give us a good place to start and to understand how they can unfold in our life. John 3:16, anybody know what that talks about? About our salvation, about eternal life, right? That there's hope for every one of us. Ephesians 2:8, great summary of grace, that God's grace and his truth into our life. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go back a little further to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll put it on the screen. It'll be on the app, or maybe if you're on your Bible today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, these two verses, 17 and 18, I believe, are great teaching on how you and I can begin to put the stewardship of the giftings that God brings into our life into focus and into point in our life, okay? So if you get there, if not, you can just read it with me on the screen. Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything we need for enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and always willing to share. In this way, you will lay up treasures not only for yourself, but for others as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what this real life is truly all about. I want you to go back and read through those verses. And those of you that are in life group this week, you're going to get a chance just to keep pondering, just to keep working through that. There's so much truth in these couple of verses that help for you and I to build the foundation of what financial freedom is as it connects with the spiritual direction of our life as well. So let me give you a couple of points on that verse, and we're going to jump into a couple of other things as well. According to world standards, those of us here in America, we are all rich. If you get a chance to travel not so far outside of our borders, you will understand, even those of us that might be at a low pay grade, at the lower part of the income level, believe me, we are rich. 2/3 of the world works for a couple of dollars a month. You can talk to my friend David, who travels to Africa several times a year, as well as many of our other missionaries, to realize that the world, most of the world, David, am I right, does not live like this. They are living and working for dollars a week. Something that you and I are blessed. Can everybody say thank you, Jesus, that we are blessed? That I know that we still have struggles. I know that there is great variance in maybe some of our finances, even here in all of these seats. But overall, we have to realize that this verse in 1 Timothy does speak to every one of us. But I want you to just kind of look at it a little more. The verse does not say that it's wrong to have wealth. Everybody, did he just say that, right? You thought it was all going to be a downer this morning, right? The Bible doesn't say that it's wrong to have wealth. You see, God doesn't mind if you make riches. He doesn't mind that you have money as long as money doesn't have you. That's what God is after. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. These verses parallel to us. So we have to understand that if we are going to be good stewards, good managers, that God has given us more than most of the world something to steward, something to manage. Listen, if your life is tough, let me tell you about 6 billion other people that would love to have your life. Hello? They'd love to have a nice house. They'd love to have nice cars. They'd love to have nice clothes like you. They'd love to go to the barber. They'd love to go tanning. Hello. All the things that are so valuable and important to us. Number two, everything that this verse says, everything that God gives for our enjoyment. God gives us good things in life so that we can enjoy life. Just as there is nothing wrong with enjoying life, there is nothing wrong with using our money to be able to obtain nice things. This is kind of that dichotomy. God's not looking down only on those that have money or those, all of us in this room, quote, that are rich, that he's just not looking to bash us. He's just helping us that we be the best stewards of it and not be selfish with it, but understand what a believer's heart is, that it is more blessed to what? Give than receive, right? So when God prospers our standard of living, he does that not so you and I will have a heart to be selfish, but that he can also raise your standard of giving. Hello? When God raises our standard of living, he also wants us to have his heart and his mind to think right away, this will enable me to raise my standard of giving as well, because it's more blessed to give than receive. You see, a lot of people think that this leads to bondage, but what Jesus is after is blessing. That when we talk this way, when we get nervous about stewardship, about finances, or about possessions, and all those kind of things, it just feels like it's a heavy message, or that we're kind of being preached at, or we struggle with that. And listen, that's not anything that I want to say to you today. That's not anything the Bible wants to teach us today. The Bible simply wants you and I to be accountable for the blessings that God brings into our life and that our heart mimics his heart. Aren't you glad that God is a giver and not a taker? Hello. Man, such a big way for us. And so God needs to work that principle into our lives as well. And then he says that we have an accountability to work, to steward, to lay up treasures, and how we operate that in this life and ultimately in the life to come. The Bible says that God divides our use of money into these two accounts. He said, number one, you can invest your money into temporary accounts. Again, nothing necessarily wrong with that. We would understand those as our earthly accounts or monies that we put away to invest, to save, money that we stash here on earth. That's all wonderful. That's all amazing. But the point of it is that we have to understand that it's temporary. If that's going to be all of our focus, if that's going to be all of our attention, we all understand that none of it is going with us. That it is 100% temporary, yes? And so you can put all of your focus, you can put all of your attention in that. Listen, it's good to put some focus. It's good to put some attention. It's good to think about your tomorrows and the next days. But we also have to understand all of that energy, all of that work is everything that's going into the temporary. In fact, you know the story that we read in John, I think chapter 8 or chapter 10, where the guy just was being blessed and he's just kind of putting it into a barn. And then, man, I've got so much more. I've got to build a bigger barn. And I'm just going to stash more and more. And like, man, I filled that barn. I got to build a bigger and a bigger barn. Only to realize what? The next day, he was dead. And you're going to be putting away a ton of stuff that, for the most part, you're never going to spend, right? And so you can do that if that's your number one focus. You realize you're never going to maximize the benefit because our tomorrow, our today for that month, is never guaranteed. Number two is that we can be investing into an eternal account. So it's good that we are helping our temporary, helping our earthly account. We're taking care of our needs. We're taking care of those that are following after, that there is some attention to that. But we also realize that the ultimate blessing, the ultimate purpose is that we are investing as well into an eternal account. That's when we invest in things that are going to last forever. So how do you do that? Well, you put it into things that are going to last forever. Can you tell me one thing that has lasted forever? Do you know anything that's been before time even began that is here today and will be here for all eternity? It's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God. So we learn, how do we invest into the kingdom of God? How do we recognize that we seek first the kingdom of God? How do we know that we put the perspective of what he has done into our lives? We put it into the things that God values most. And what is it that God, man, a lot of quiz today, right? What is it that God values most? Souls. Lost people. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. That our focus and our attention is how can I bless, how can I increase my eternal portfolio, is that how can I bless into character, into things that are going to last for all of eternity. You saw a little note about a spaghetti dinner next Sunday. That's just a little bit of an investment. We've asked you to grab one of these envelopes over the last couple of weeks. And for the next couple of months, we didn't ask you for a week. We didn't ask you for a couple of days. We asked you if you could take a couple of months and make an investment so that there could be some teen kids in the foster program here at Erie, spend a weekend with godly people, understanding 24/7 how much God loves them and cares for them, how much God has purpose and plan for their life. And their life might not be awesome right now, but they can have some hope and faith to believe that there are people willing to give up days and weekends and people willing to invest money and believe in their eternal soul. Somebody say amen with me today. And so can I see something just really pastoral to all of you today? If you're a guest today, you don't have to listen to this. If you're a regular attender, remember, you have to listen. If we don't have one of these and we're not making investment into the souls of students in Erie County, then shame on you and shame on me. Hello? Is it okay to say that? Somebody say it's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say it anyway, all right? See, we're investing in things that are going to have potential for all eternity. How can we not look at the things that God loves? How can we not take time for the things that are on the heart of God to say, listen, I know there are some things that are on my wish list. There are some things on my dream list. There are some things I'm hoping to get someday. There's a bigger house. There's a bigger truck. There's some vacation house. There's a boat. There's all those kind of things. Listen, if we are managing our money well, listen, go for it. Have fun. Have a great time. But realize it's only going to be temporary, so just use it up and enjoy it. But where can I spend more of my time focusing and understanding on things that are going to last forever? Can I connect my heart with those things today? Can I be a part? Listen, some of you say you can give a check. What about some of you signing up and why don't you be a worker or a counselor for TRAC? You see, because our time is part of our stewardship as well. Amen? Why don't you just say, listen, I may be able to invest $50, Pastor Jim, but I could give the whole weekend and bless some kids. Why don't you do that? You see, why don't you just step into the eternal while we have the opportunity that's around us? You see, the way you fill your temporary account is through savings, but the way you fill your eternal account is through giving. You see, everything that God wants to do is challenge you and I to be blessed by giving. So let me just kind of close today. There are four foundational truths that I want to give you, and then these will be things for a lot of you in your groups to be able to talk with as well. Everybody still love me today? All right. Most of you know it doesn't matter whatever response you gave, right? I was going to keep going. Let's learn these four things today, okay? First of all, we have to understand biblically, God owns it all, okay? So whatever I have to steward, I have to understand in my heart, in my mind, that none of it, look at somebody and just say, none of it. Because some of you still are going to say like 98%. You're not going to say all. All of it belongs to God. If I want to understand finances from God's perspective, then I have to agree with the idea that he owns it all, that it's his and it's not mine. Now, I know some of you can say that, but you're still struggling to believe that. I get that. We all do. I'm not standing up here better than any of us. This is a universal human struggle. And this is why we have to understand stewardship. This is why we have to ask God to help us to be a good manager of the things that he has given us. I'm so glad that God works on the scale of blessing that he has placed into our life. I'm so glad that he tells us the story of the little woman that just had a couple of coins and she threw them just kind of silently away from everybody into the bucket. But what? Jesus took notice of that and said, listen, this lady's given more than the rest of you because you've given out of your little. She's given out of her everything, right? So it's not equal gifts. It's equal sacrifice. That's where it is. And so there's no comparison here. This is all understanding what God has blessed me with, this is what I have been called to manage. I recognize we grow up, right, in a culture, in a lifestyle as humans with this concept of more, of mine, of me. I'm here every day with about 85 little toddlers and kids as part of our early learning center. How many would imagine maybe just once a day out of those 85 kids that we're going to hear me, mine, just once during the day? Right? I was with Brittany and one of the families, I think last Sunday or the Sunday before, just has a little baby, was here in church and just dressed up to the nine, just this cute little doll baby. And there's like literally seven adults just like all over this little one. Just like, oh, look at her. Oh, she's so pretty. Look at her bow. Oh, my. Is there any concept, right, at like 3 months old that somehow that our little brain at that time is starting to get the picture? It's all about me, right? And we just grow up, and it's just so hard to break through from that. But here's what most of us do with the truth that God owns it all. Number one, a lot of us just ignore that. Whew. I'm just going to live like I don't believe that. I'm going to live like I didn't hear that. And you just kind of gauge your life. I'll gauge my life. Like a lot of times we know the truth, right? We've been talking the difference between just a disciple that just sits around in the room and talks about all the theory versus a disciple that Jesus was calling for laborers to get your hands dirty is that we got to just stop talking about it and we got to enter in and start doing it. And so you can just continue another Sunday. You know I don't talk on money every week. You're probably like, I think we got through the 2019 money talk. Won't have to hear him for another year, right? You can just let it go, or you can just be challenged and say, Lynn, maybe I need to see how my discipled life and my financial life really do partner, how they go hand in hand. So you can just ignore it, or you sometimes God just becomes your financial counselor, right? And so when you get into trouble, when things get over your head, you're like, oh, okay, God, let's make a deal here. All right, I'll get caught up. I'll throw a check in the plate, and then you bail me out. How's that, right? You don't think people play that game? Believe me, they do. First of all, we have to realize God owns it all. Everybody say that. God owns it all, right? What you do with it from there is on you. Number two, God entrusts me with some of his gifts, some of his blessings, some of his finance, some of his money. How many are disappointed in the word some? How many would like to reword that to say, I wish God would entrust me with more of his money, right? See, there are two ways you can get more. We can take it from others, or we can receive it from God. How many think number two is better than number one, right? So this is stewardship in its basic form. God entrusts us with something, and when we act as a proper steward while we have it, because God is all about the more, God is all about blessing, then God blesses it and makes it grow. How many times do we read in the Bible when we follow his plan, God says, and it gets folded over 30, 60, 100 fold. When we follow God's plans and purpose, his work is that it gets blessed over and over and over. We're going to read a little bit later. God says, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. So listen, we have to understand this thought line on both sides of the truth that we are after. You see, if we are faithful then in little, God says what? I'll give you more. So God gives us his stuff for maybe 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe even 100 years. But again, when we die, it all goes back to him. Like I said before, there are kind of hard assets. There are blessings, money, finance, mindsets. There's all kinds of things that God blesses so many of us here with. Some of you, way more than me, way more than others. Maybe even the smarts, how to handle, how to finance, how to go through all those kind of things. And then God gives other people, along with that, you know, what we could call soft assets. Some of you have great minds. Some of you have great, you have character. You have abilities to reach into people's hearts and lives. You have just an instinct to kind of think eternal and blessings that you can provide for people. Those are all the care. Some of you have talents and abilities where you can sing or you can organize or you're hospitable. All those kind of things. And again, none of that, God says, is for you alone or for you to take possession of. God says those are things that I put into your life to continue to help the kingdom of heaven show the love and the wonder of heaven and God's. So again, you might not be blessed with all kinds of financial wealth, but some of you are blessed with all kinds of internal blessings that the world is just craving for. And God wants to bless and use you to be a blessing to others. And the more that you give it away, God says, I'm just going to flood you with more and more and more of it. It's the way God operates. And thirdly, God gives me the freedom to choose how to use it. Now listen, this just honestly, not to you or you and me, but this is the crazy part, right? So it's all his and he kind of doles it out to you and I, and then he gives us the principles. He doesn't force us, right? He doesn't send lightning bolts down out of heaven. He just says, trust me in all of these things. Just abide with me in this and see if I don't do this. But he commits it to you and I and then gives us the ability either to do it or not to do it. Kind of crazy. Because if he knew you the way I know you, no, I won't say that. You see, God says you can waste what I've given you. Listen, let's step away from the money thing for a while. Again, some of you have talents, abilities. Some of you have character. Some of you have integrity stuff. Some of you have ministries of helps, hospitalities. You're really not maximizing them. You're really not doing them. We can choose just to kind of not do anything with it. Couple of things that you always hear at Real Life is how to serve, where to serve, how to be involved, how to connect. And some of you are you're just powerhouses, but you've just got it all contained. You're not managing it for the kingdom of heaven. See, God's very clear how he wants us to manage what he has given to us properly. You have to be challenged. Maybe some of you have to be prodded and poked a little bit. You're valuable to the kingdom. You're valuable for God. But he gives you everything and then is just kind of waiting for you to get it and launch out and start to do it. There are these investments that God is putting into you and I that he's looking for the dividends to start to maximize the power of heaven, not only in you, but for those around you as well. When I was growing up, my dad collected stamps. I know, right? I mean, of all the things, maybe as a kid, I'm thinking, man, my dad's like going after it. I mean, he's putting this stuff away. So like when he passes, man, he is going to unload on me. I mean, this thing that he's been working on for all these years, and I am going to be on easy street, right? The thing that my dad worked on to invest and slave and labor over to kind of create some kind of financial nest egg for his family in the future were a bunch of stamps. You don't think I have to follow God's word about stewardship and finding out for my future? Believe me, I've been carrying around, I mean literally, like 100-pound boxes of binders full of stamps. I went to the post office about 2 months ago. I said, my dad left me this mega investment that I'm sure is going to pay off, that you guys are probably going to become my family when I'm done telling you what I have, what I am in possession of. And I told her that I have boxes and boxes and binders filled with stamps. And you're not going to believe the response that I got back from the postal worker. I mean, you know how wonderful and loving and caring they are to the needs of those that go. Sorry, Jean. And they just looked at me dumbfounded. They said, "You have what?" I said, "I have stamps. It's your business. What do you mean, what do I have?" And she looked at me and she said, "Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know a human in this world that would want to buy your stamp collection." Thanks, Dad. You see, there are things that we are hoping that somehow are going to last. Listen, some of you bought gold coins, gold bars. So, I mean, we're all after something, right? And there are some high moments and there are some low moments, right? We all think it's a sure thing. I had somebody 4 or 5 years ago tell me to invest in this. This is a sure thing. This is going to be so amazing. And Debbie and I were foolish enough to throw a little money that way. Every time in January, they send me the statement of how much my investment is returning. Let me tell you, there is a 0.0 in front of every amount that they send me every time. You see, we want to buy in that there are sure things in life, but how many are smart enough to know there's nothing that's a sure deal? Not that it's on that, but sometimes it's on us. We're not the sure deal. You see, if we choose to squander what God has given us, it's going to lead to a life of debt, pain, and suffering. I don't know if you are aware of this, maybe very few in this room, but one thing that I've discovered about banks and credit card companies is that when you take their money, they expect you to give it back to them plus interest. Hello? How many long for the days when an interest credit card used to be like 8%, 9%? How many know start at what today? 25, 28, 30? That's a deal today. But when we manage well the things that God gives to us, we don't just get simple interest back. God says we get multiplied blessings, right? So God gives you and I the freedom. We have to choose well. Let me finish up today. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, pretty familiar scripture. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10. Now Jesus was talking to Israel about the concept of giving to the house of God, about the Old Testament principle, which I believe still carries through to the New Testament, but about tithing and offerings. Now, I know that there might be a few people here today that love to fight and debate and to challenge that and all those kind of things, but that's not what today is all about. That's not what your group is going to be all about either. And I'll explain some of that in just a couple of minutes that we have left. But this is how pertinent Jesus was with Israel. And today it's the same relationship that God loves the church. God is working his blessing through the church. He did it through Israel in the Old Testament. He does it through the church today in the New Testament. And this is what the prophet writes. Will you rob God? God says, you're robbing me. And the people said, how? How are we robbing you? And God's, again, very clear, very direct, in tithes and offerings. He says, you're under a curse. God doesn't do that too often. Isn't it amazing that when God chooses this strong language, again, what's it about? It's this thing that we struggle with. You're under a curse because you are robbing me. And so how do we solve that? He said, I want you to take this little bit that I've blessed you with. It's all mine anyway. And I'm just asking you to be obedient and to be faithful with the smallest parts of it. Bring it back to the storehouse so the work of God, so the kingdom of God can continue to be about eternal promise, about eternal work. And if you will do that, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out more blessing that you will not even have room to contain it. Listen, God's not going to give you a stamp collection, hello? That's going to be worthless. God says, I'm going to bless you, which you're not even going to be able to contain it. So let's just talk about, I know this is a concept that most of you are familiar with, but at times I know that when things get tight, We lose our mind that it's God first, that it's God that owns everything, that if I am going to be a disciple, getting my hands dirty, being a laborer, I can't do me first and let God wait till the end. You can say amen, ouch, grunt, you can do whatever you want. But it's the truth. God is saying to his people that they were under a curse because they had not properly understood giving back to God what is his. Now, when the prophet began to say this, because Israel grew up with this idea of tithing all the way back to Father Abraham, even before the law prescribed it, Abraham was doing it. And so they knew this. So when the prophet began to say this, I mean, there was a real hush in the audience that day, because they're like, oh, we know exactly what he's talking about. They understood that there was such a thing as mandatory giving. It was the tithe. God says, listen, of the 100%, I'll let you control 90% of it. Remember, all of it's mine, but 10% comes back to me. How many think that's a pretty amazing deal? Credit cards giving you that deal? Bankers giving you that deal? And God says, if you don't do it, so can we just be real life real today? No? All right. We understand tithing is 10%, correct? So tithing isn't 5%, isn't 2%, isn't 7%. Tithing isn't, well, the best I can do. This is the best I can do. Is it? So what is it? Tithing is what? 10%. You, don't be mad at me. It was suggested or was mandatory? Mandatory. Israel knew it as soon as the prophets started talking about it. Some of you felt that way as soon as I started to talk about it today. So he says, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. What's offerings? Tithing mandatory, offerings voluntary, right? That's how, just out of the blessing and the understanding of our heart, that I'm not going to put me first, going to put God first, not going to put the kingdom of Jim first, going to put the kingdom of God first. And so I'm going to bless track. I'm going to bless our kids' ministry. I'm going to give to missions. I'm going to walk for water. I'm going to dig a well. Just don't have to, want to. Because it's good things for me to build eternal account, not temporary account. It's good to be investing in God's heart, not my heart more. Hello? And so they were doing neither, and God was calling them out on it. So he says, what I need you to do is to make sure you're obedient with your 10%. Bring it into the house of the Lord. See, what God was saying to Israel is, I just don't want you to rob me less. I want you to stop robbing me. Hello? So when we're not being obedient, God's not just trying to, like, okay, we'll let you know, we'll just pat you on the head, whatever. God says, I don't want you to just rob me less. I want you to stop robbing me. So this is a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. We either follow scripture, right? We're either in or out. And so if you want to keep investing in the eternal, then today part of our prayer, part of our lifestyle today is to say, where my treasure is what? Where my heart is. And you might not be able to answer that fully in this moment right here. I hope that you are, but that's something that you need to get settled in your life. The last thing that we understand is that God blesses me and others when I exercise good stewardship. You see, God says, listen, if you just follow me in your obedience, God says, I'll bless you. I don't know why we stop at just hearing that tenth part. We don't follow through. God says, if you do it, it's going to be amazing. Can anybody just kind of make that right step with me, right? So do it, and then take a right step and hear God say, and it's going to be amazing. And so as it comes to your ministry here at Real Life, your tithe comes here. And your offerings can go to some of the things that we sponsor, but your offerings can go to other places too. But if we're not doing that, we're robbing God. Now, I know for some of you, I'm not going to go too far into it because our time is kind of gone today. And if you don't want to carry the tithe into the New Testament, what I read more than anything else in the New Testament is that when there was a need, those people gave everything they had when there was a need. Yes? How many think everything is more than 10%? So I love for those that want to battle, Pastor, in the New Testament. Yeah, in the New Testament, listen, they were encouraged to be exorbitant, cheerful, over-the-top givers. God was asking for a little. The New Testament teaches, be a mega giver. So you kind of put that into some kind of percentage. Listen, it's not about giving. Hello? It's about blessing. It's about being obedient and following. And I want to pray today. Listen, we're at the start of this new year. So maybe your arrow for a lot of last year kind of had a tendency to do this. But we're at a relatively beginning of a new year. For God to help you make some statements in your life today as it relates to your finances, that you can turn some things around. Maybe you can take Financial Peace University. Maybe you can come and if you're struggling in some areas. Can I tell you that this room is probably filled with a number of people that have said, listen, we've known what it's like to have a lot and we know what it's like to have a little, but God has always been faithful. There are people that have tithed when they've had little and they tithe now when they have a lot and they said, it doesn't matter. We're going to be obedient and be a tither. There are some of you here to say, well, Pastor, once I get a lot, then I'll be a good tither. Listen, I've been doing this long enough. Can I be real again? No, you won't. Or maybe the one out of 1,000 of you will. Why? Because where your treasure is where your heart is. So let's pray today. Father.